Let's hold our Bibles up and say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I was sitting here in the chair, looking out that window behind the tree there, and it happened to perfectly frame the Seeslog's pine trees that are all covered with white. And it isn't amazing how all our effort, and God can decorate trees, all of them, overnight. And it just looks beautiful. And the sun came out on the way over here from Clarkfield, and just everything was white. It's pretty awesome. Matthew 16, 18. Actually, I'm going to back up to 13. Can we do that, Harlan? All right. The title of the message is Simon Peter Rocked. Simon Peter Rocked. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Shall we pray? Lord, we just thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Had your servant behind the cross once again. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Simon Peter rocked. I put these four lines down for kind of a summary of the sermon, and I doubt if I'm going to get through it all the way, but Jesus takes Simon, Jesus shakes Simon, Jesus shapes Simon, and Jesus stakes Simon, or Peter. Jesus stakes Peter. And then finally, he is staked to the rock of ages, and Peter becomes a rock. Now, Andrew was Simon's brother, and he was a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was preaching about the Messiah, the coming one, and he saw Jesus as he was walking, and he said, "There he is." So we'll check that out here in John chapter 1 and verse 35. Verse 35, "And again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, when translated, 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where that he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated the Christ. "And as he brought him to Jesus, now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,'" which is translated stone. This was Simon's first introduction to Jesus. Andrew began to follow Jesus, and he was convinced that what John the Baptist said was true. So Andrew went to his brother. I'm not sure whether Simon was a follower of John the Baptist or not, but he wasn't in on this little introduction when Andrew met Jesus. So Andrew went and got his brother, and he said, "You got to come see this guy. You got to come meet Jesus, because we have found the Christ," which is translated the Messiah. So they came. Simon came, and the first thing that happened is Jesus began to tell him a little bit about himself. First of all, he told him what his name was, and I think Simon knew that, but he didn't know Jesus knew it. And he told him that he was going to call him by a different name. He wasn't going to call him Simon anymore. He was going to call him Peter, which is translated a stone or a rock. And now as we see Peter, remember this guy is raw. He is a raw recruit. He wasn't a Bible school graduate. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a religious leader. He was a fisherman. And he was busy in his occupation when he met Jesus. When we think about the new year and what's coming up in this new year, we think that there may be changes. That is the thing that's kind of gone through my mind the last month of this year. The word change has gone through my mind. I have no idea. I haven't got any revelation on what change it's going to be or what it is, but that's what's gone through my mind for this next year. And Peter, or Simon, was about to experience some change in his life. Jesus started working on Peter, or Simon, right there on that spot when he told him, I'm going to call you by a different name. I'm going to call you Peter. So, we see a second meeting coming up here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1. We're going to go all the way down through verse 11. And so, it was as a multitude pressed about him, speaking of Jesus, to hear the words of God, the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw the boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Imagine that, he picked Simon's boat, huh? He got into Simon's and asked him to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let the net down." Simon is a fisherman. That's his trade. That's what he's done countless hours of his life, years of his life, he fished. And obviously, if he was in cleaning his nets, that meant this was not the time for fishing. The time was not good. This was not the prime time for fishing. And my guess is, out in the deep was not the prime place for fishing either. Just because of the astonishment of Peter. But Peter said, because he'd already been introduced to Jesus, Peter was willing to yield, but he had to say his piece. Whatever. We'll do it, but whatever. You know, we're wasting our time here. I know fishing. You are not a fisherman. You don't know anything about fishing. I know about fishing, and we're wasting our time. But he was polite, and so he said, "Okay, if you want to do it, we'll throw the nets in. We just got them clean, but we'll throw them in." Pretty amazing. Verse 6, "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was breaking." Now, isn't it a nice story that their net didn't break? You know, God just doesn't work like that. They caught all these huge fish, a whole net full, and the net broke, and they all got away. You know, they only get away from me. This was a God thing. These were God's fish. And so they were catching fish, verse 7, and so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Isn't it a nice story that the boats didn't sink? Well, you get the idea. God was in control. He blessed them to the very maximum of their capacity, and not a fish more. Right? How's your capacity? How's your net? How big's your boat? And they began to sink, and Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." See, Peter knew fishing. Peter knew fish. Peter knew the sea. And Peter knew that this was a miracle. Suddenly he realized this thing about Jesus being the Messiah. There's something really here. He sensed the holiness of God in this act. God spoke to him in a term that he could understand. He could understand fish. He could understand that they had fished all night, didn't catch anything, and in 2 seconds, their nets were full. And my guess is they weren't just ordinary sized fish. They were big fish, don't you think? Yeah, I mean, they're godfish. So, I mean, it was an amazing thing. And Simon Peter didn't look and say, oh, man, look at the fish, all the money. Oh, man, we are going to be rich. No, suddenly he realized that God was involved. And so he fell down, says, at Jesus' knee. And he, you know, there's a big gap between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. And Peter was Simon was very, very aware of that at this moment. I'm going to back up just a little bit to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We use this scripture occasionally in our own lives. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How many know Jesus has the ability? We see it here. Simon didn't even have a clue what was coming. He didn't know what was taking place. Able to, he caught fish. Exceedingly, he had a full net. Above all, he had 2 boats ready to sink. Now, Simon's thinking in all of this, I have toiled all my life, and my thought is he's never caught a catch like this in his life, at that time of the day especially, and probably at that depth. It was just all wrong, but God made it happen. And he's thinking, God can do in 2 minutes what it takes me a week to do. Kind of adjusting his thinking a little bit on how to approach Jesus. So he's thinking about all this as he's on his knees. And it says he's afraid. 10, verse 10 of Luke 5. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Jesus, and said to them, now what are they? Verse 9 says, and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men. All Peter was thinking about, all Simon was thinking about at that moment, was that he was standing in the presence of holiness and he wasn't. He felt sinful, he felt dirty. You see, already Jesus is showing that he stands in the gap between sinful man and a holy God. Aren't you glad for that? We couldn't stand in the presence of God without Jesus. We're not capable because we're not perfect. We're not sinless like Jesus was and is. He stands in that gap for us. But Simon was trying to figure this all out, and Jesus showed him grace and showed him mercy and called him into the ministry. Do not be afraid, for this is verse 10, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. What was Jesus thinking? Peter, again, was just a raw recruit fisherman. He's just kind of trying to soak this all in. His world is being rocked by Jesus. And here Jesus just picks him. Well, let's go on to verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. In Scandinavian country, we don't like change much. Woe be to the coffee shop that runs out of your favorite kind of coffee, right? I don't know about you, but I just get something going and good, and I like it, and invariably they'll quit stocking it or quit making it. Right? Happens all the time. I hate that. I dislike that. I'm sorry, I can't use that word. But we just don't like change. Peter's about to go into a sea change, as they call it. A huge, massive, overwhelming change of his life. He must have had somebody take care of the fish. He left the nets. He didn't clean the nets again. He left the boats, forsook everything, and they began to follow Jesus. Well, I've been here long enough. Some of you have heard this story many, many times, but I got to tell it again. When Pastor Winnie came to me and he said, I want you to be my children's pastor, and you have 3 days to make up your mind. He had an advantage over me because I'd already told him that God had called me into the ministry, but I didn't have a clue how I was going to get there. And I actually wrote him a letter and saying, would you help me get into North Central? 3 kids and a wife and some debt. I thought, I'm just going to do it. And that's when he said that to me. He said, I want you to be my children's pastor, and went home and told my wife, because, you know, it's one thing thinking about it and think it's going to be like 3-4 years, but 5 years, 6 years before you get there. It's another thing looking at it in 3 days. And I went home and told Pat. And among other things, the one thing she said is, we are going to starve to death. She said it with great conviction. And I thought we might too, but I knew that this was God, and I knew I just had to go. You know, sometimes God will come to us and ask us to do things, and he doesn't explain to us how it's going to work. He doesn't explain to us how it's all the details are all going to work out. He didn't explain it to Peter, but Peter kind of had a little bit of an idea. If Jesus can pull in that many fish in 5 minutes or 2 minutes, it takes me a week, then I'm not too worried. If the very least, we can go out and fish once in a while, you know, once a week, and we could pull in all these fish. He just decided that he was going to trust the Lord, and they all just left, and they began to follow Jesus. Well, we see in the frame of time, we see he said, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, a new day for Simon. From now on. That's a pretty scary phrase, isn't it? From now on. From now on, things are going to change. From now on, that's a new day. And then that could be the case with you this year. As you go on into the new year, there might be some changes. The Lord may bring some changes into your life, and you know it's God, but you aren't sure of the details of everything. You will catch men. He's got a new purpose. It's a new day. He's got a new purpose. And forsake all and follow me. He's got a new life. That's what you call a sea change, for sure. New day, new purpose, new life. And I'm sure that Simon said, let the journey begin. So we catch up to him later on. Okay, John chapter 6 and verse 14. Then these men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. It's good, but it's not adequate. Jesus was more than a prophet that came into the world. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Peter's boat is about to be rocked. This is the time frame. We catch him later on. He's with Jesus. He's involved in the ministry. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat. This is when he heard about John the Baptist dying. He departed there from the boat and deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out and saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send multitudes away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And fish keep getting in the story. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And now, I'll read to you, we don't have to go there, but I'll read to you John 6:14. That's when they saw this sign and they were astonished. That's what they were astonished about. This. Now Jesus pulled fish out of the sea. In this story, Jesus pulled fish out of thin air. And they weren't just raw fish, live fish. They were already cooked. Can he do just about anything? How about anything? He can do anything. So as these fish were multiplied, broken and multiplied, they were edible, cooked fish that God just created out of, or that Jesus created out of thin air. And they were all amazed at the sign that was done, and they thought that he was a prophet, and that's a good guess, but not adequate. So this day is not over yet for Peter. This is where his boat gets rocked. In verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew, it says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Right. Out of the night, walking on the water, and Jesus says, "Be of good cheer." It must have been a sight to behold. Now, we know the story of Moses. God parted the Red Sea, used Moses. God parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross on dry ground. We know the story of Joshua, where they carried the ark into the water, and the water subsided, and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. We haven't heard this story before. Simon hadn't heard this story before. Jesus is walking on water. He's not just walking on glass, still, calm, beautiful water. He's walking on a storm. He's surfing without a board. It's an amazing thing. We know it was bad, the storm. Well, we'll get to that part here in just a minute. God, again, is molding and shaping and shaking Simon. And Peter, with a burst of faith, says to the Lord, "Can I do that too?" And Peter, in verse 28, says, answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And we always talk about how Peter sank, and we don't very often talk about how Peter walked on the water. He really did. The Bible says that he just got out of there and started walking on the water. Matter of fact, that was one of the first sermons I preached here. It was about Peter walking on the water. That's some 18 years ago. But Peter got out of the boat. The faith welled up inside of him, and he began to walk on the water. But as I said before, it wasn't just your nice, calm, glassy water this was a storm, and it wasn't, it was a pretty bad storm, because it says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now think about it. Simon could swim like a fish. He was not afraid of the water. He'd been on the water all his life. He was a good swimmer. If he was afraid he was going to drown as he went down, it was because it was really bad. And he knew he wasn't going to be able to swim in it. So that, I can't, it's hard to imagine the picture of that. Jesus up here in a wave, and the boat down here in the valley of the wave, and then Jesus down here in the valley of the wave, and the boat up here on the wave. And whew. Anyway, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, don't you like that part of the story? Because he could have said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He could have been on the way down that Jesus said that. Instead, he reached out, grabbed his hand first, and then he said, oh, you of little faith, as he pulled him up. How many know that he does that in our lives as well? It's all right for the Lord to tell us, to chastise us when we don't have the faith that we need. But that doesn't mean he's going to drop us and let us drown. He was working with Simon, molding him, shaping him, shaking him. So, talk about fear. He was afraid because he cried out. We've all done the same thing, been distracted from being focused on Jesus. If Peter would have stayed focused on Jesus, he would have been fine. But instead, he was distracted by this wind and the waves and the storm that's around him. And he, instead of looking at Jesus, he looked at the circumstances, he looked at the situation around him, and he began to sink. And I think we've all done that in our lives from time to time. We get in the middle of a storm, and we start looking at the storm, and we take our eyes off Jesus, and things don't go as well for us as what it could. Simon made it, but Jesus had to pull him out of the drink. We've all done that same thing. When it comes to praying for the sick, perhaps. You ever have that fear well up inside of you? You know, when somebody says, will you pray for me? Somebody who's sick, and the first thing you think of is, what if they're not healed? I pray for them and they're not healed. Or maybe it's witnessing. Win somebody to Christ. You just feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak to this person, but you're afraid to because you're afraid they're going to get upset, they're going to get angry, they're going to reject you. So we kind of look at the circumstances instead of at Christ, right? He said, pray for the sick, didn't he? Didn't he? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, didn't he? So that's part of what we'll look at the circumstances and we'll be fearful. Sometimes we even are fearful of being able to live the Christian life. There are people that they look at the circumstances around them and they say, I can't do this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. The scripture says that he will complete what he starts in us. Remember to keep your eyes on Christ this next year. But finally, we read it in our text in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, and he said, "You are the Christ," or translated Messiah, "you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We see Simon becoming Peter. And Jesus said, "You are blessed, but you were not, this is, you can't take credit for this because your mind didn't come up with this. This was revealed to you by God." We talk about Jesus being the light of the world. That's part of what that light means, is that things come on inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, so that we are able to understand more fully the spiritual things. Blessed are you. Who do people say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." My Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." What an amazing, amazing journey. John the Baptist, some of them thought he was John the Baptist because of the preaching of repentance. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus used those exact same words. "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then they thought he was Elijah because of the miracles that he performed. They all knew of Elijah's miracles. Then there's Jeremiah. Jeremiah was preached the message of doom to stiff-necked people. Jesus was doing that. Or one of the prophets, they knew that the power of God was working through Jesus, but these are all inadequate. Peter got it, but he couldn't really take the credit for it. Today, people still sometimes don't get it. People miss the true identity of Jesus Christ. Some say he's a good man. Some say he was a great teacher. Some say he was even a prophet. But Peter said it. Christ, or Messiah, that was his office. The Son speaks of his deity. And the living God, he's not one of those idols that others worshiped. He was part and connected to and the living God. How about you this year? Going to make some resolutions? How about just resolve to let the Lord take you and shape you and shake you and stake you? Sometimes we have to start over. New Year is a chance just to draw a line in the sand and say, that's behind, this is ahead, like Denise was saying. She's living, leaning forward. She's living, leaning towards the future. Excellent thing to do. We're going to close. Lord, we've had 100 altered calls this year, and we've responded to half of them. And Lord, you know where our hearts are as this year ends, comes to an end in just a few days. You know what where we've been, but you don't care as much about that as to where we are and where we're going. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like Peter. We're maybe not polished, we're maybe not totally understanding everything that you're doing, but Peter kept hanging in there, kept moving forward, kept letting Jesus mold him and shape him and shake him and stake him. Lord, we want to just yield ourselves to you again for 2011. Help us to start fresh with you. Help us to lean forward. Help us to live forward. Help us to have faith forward. And not take our eyes off of you, even in the midst of a storm. For you are capable of taking care of us in every circumstance, in every situation. We just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.